Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment. Go.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. In shock, as always, is Alex. Just tell him what we're doing, Alex.
What's going on, guys? What's going on, Angelo? I mean, yeah, Angelo is kind of shocked because we had something planned for today, but then I was like, let's take a look at maybe do a small this or that. Let's look at the rankings because, I mean, it's rookie fever time. People are doing their rookie drafts right now. And it's just like when rookie drafts come and you learn this with experience. So if you're in your first year of Dynasty and you're doing your first ever rookie draft,
you're ready for something.
You can sometimes get some crazy values on your picks. If you trade those, and I get it. Sometimes I'm not a big fan of that, for example. We'll be talking about some of those examples, like Marvin Harrison Jr., for example. He's extremely high on all the rankings. And I'm not necessarily certain you trade that for a safer player. Depends on the player that you get, of course. But then there are some guys that carry a bit more risk, like Ndunze, for example, like Bowers, Worthy, Brian Thomas Jr., those guys in those ranges that carry a lot of risk in my eyes. You can maybe flip those for a bit. So we'll take a look at that.
I have a question before we start.
Yes.
Because Austin talked about his draft. And this, I'm not talking about our league. I want to turn this into a different discussion. Austin acquired a bunch of picks. And he made selections with basically every one of those picks. He had like one trade down, if I remember. I have historically, especially in rebuild, not wanted to make any selections. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, when my team was by far the worst in the league, I think I made two or three selections in 2 years. Which would you prefer? Would you prefer during a rebuild to acquire a bunch of picks and make a bunch of picks, or would you prefer to trade those picks away for either future picks, players you believe in, and then just get the top guy, basically, is what I did every draft, is get the consensus top guy. Which one do you think is a better strategy?
I guess it depends. On one end, I really want to secure the top guy on most drafts, assuming, especially if he's a wide receiver and you're rebuilding. You and I have had this talk before. I mean, I'm very pro wide receiver. You've been more pro running back for most of the time. You're still pro running back, so for the entirety of the time that I've known you, playing Dynasty, playing fantasy football, it's just like running backs, running backs, running backs. I'm always wide receivers. So in this draft in specific, like if you have Marvin Harrison Jr., I think it's an auto click.
Yeah, you don't I'm really not saying think like, about it, yeah, right? You should pick Blake Corum over Marvin. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like if the consensus top player is a running back, I have no problem making that selection.
Yes, that is true. But still, like, for example, in Jamar Chase's draft, I know you were thinking about Chase, but you were still, like, thinking about Etienne, for example, a guy like that. You were torn a bit.
I traded down to get Etienne. Guys. I traded the Chase back to get it down to Etienne. Yeah.
To not have to make that trade. And sometimes it works out in Chase's scenario. Sometimes it doesn't in Corey Davis' scenario. So, I mean, it's a mixed bag. I would say it just depends on what you prioritize and how far do you think you are in terms of competing. But in this draft, I think it's pretty clear that you take Marvin Harrison Jr. And then, I mean, there's he also
the
had
discussion
Big Five,
I'm
for
asking
example.
Him. Yeah, but that's not. I'm talking about like making selections versus making trades.
Yeah, and that's the part that I'm going to address now, because he also had pick 105, for example. And that one, I think you could get a good return on it. And I think it might be even helpful if you do that, because you're trading a guy who now you're looking at someone that has upside but still carries quite a bit of risk. So if you can flip that pick for, let's say, next year's first that you think is going to be pretty high, maybe a second, and then, I don't know, a prospect that you like, I'm sure that you can get those type of deals done. So I like a bit of both. I'm not totally for trading every single one of your picks and just kick the can down the road, as you did a few times or plenty of times when you were rebuilding. But I'm not totally opposed as well of just grabbing the top guy and then trading a bunch of the rest of the first that you have for more value. So a mix of both is what I prefer, to be honest.
It's fine. Balance is the key. But you have to admit that war chest that I was able to acquire over the years was impressive as fuck.
I mean, it was. And you still have something in your war chest, if I'm not mistaken. Still think you have two firsts next year, if I'm not... Or maybe
three firsts next year, two firsts the following year. Yes, I still technically have it. Actually, funny enough, I looked at that thing, the league evaluator, after the fact, and even after I made all those deals with the roster I currently have, I believe I was number two in draft pick value.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have, three firsts next year, still have a second. Couple of thirds, and then in 2026 you're back with two firsts, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's basically that for relevant picks. So yeah, I mean, you still have a good war chest. The roster is looking good. You still need a bit of that, in my opinion, but you'll get there eventually. So yeah, I think the rebuild is doing okay. As I said, going all in last season, I didn't necessarily like that. Although you did get some very talented players, you still have some question marks that I didn't really wish that you had by spending what you did late last season. But I mean, again, roster has been going good. So a few tweaks here and there, maybe they can get you over the hump.
I think I have one of the best rosters in the league, honestly.
I mean, you are starting who at flex 2? You're starting Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, I mix between Jeudy and God, who's the other guy? Oh, the Patriots guy, Bourne.
Kendrick Bourne,
yeah.
So I'm not the biggest fan of that, but I mean, going okay.
My dude, there are playoff teams who are putting backup tight ends as their second flex. It gets a lot worse.
Okay. But we are here to look at some players who might be overvalued or, I doubt it, undervalued. In terms of the rookies, at least. So, do you want to start with a comparison, or do you want me to start with a comparison?
You're doing all these comparisons. I don't want to look at this shit any more than I already
am. I need you to throw me at least a couple. Come on now.
I'll throw you a couple ridiculous ones.
Okay, so I'll fly you one now to start. And I guess I'll start with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, God.
This or that... Marvin Harrison Jr. or CeeDee Lamb?
Stop this. Why is this person? I'm just going to go on a fuck. I get it, man. He is the most hyped prospect of like a generation, it feels like. But you're telling me if this motherfucker comes out here and he has 1,000 yards in his rookie season, this guy is going to be the wide receiver one at the end of the year. I hope you understand what this means.
That is true.
That's all. Yes. If he has a rookie season, and that's the thing, like, did Ja'Marr Chase ever usurp Justin Jefferson with his rookie hype?
Yeah.
I don't think he did. Did he?
Oh, with his rookie hype.
Yeah, because Justin Jefferson had already performed to the point.
I don't think so, but let me look. All time, the rankings. So, with his rookie hype alone, no, just in season, he might have.
Because Justin Jefferson got hurt. But I'm not saying that Marvin Harrison Jr. isn't a great prospect and he can't be great, but I'm saying maybe you've lost the forest for the trees a little bit when you're picking a wide receiver who hasn't played a snap in the NFL over a wide receiver who's coming off like a 2,000-yard season, who is consistently having like 1,000-yard seasons and also in one of the best offenses in the NFL. Maybe you've jumped the shark a bit there, buddy.
Okay. So
I understand there's situations where that makes sense. Like if you're rebuilding, your roster's not getting any better, you need to do a reset. Someone says, okay, CD for Marvin. I probably want to add something if I'm rebuilding on top of Marvin, but yes, I do it. If I'm like a sane human being at the time, no, I'm taking CD Lamb, dude. Do you even have a fucking case for this? What's your fucking case for this?
I also would rather have CeeDee Lamb. And Kip Trenkot also would rather have CeeDee Lamb, just to set the record clear there. They are close in value, though. CeeDee Lamb is right now wide receiver 3. Marvin Harrison Jr. is wide receiver 5. So they are very close. But after saying that, for comparison's sake, and as you mentioned before, the most hyped rookie wide receiver before Marvin Harrison Jr. was Ja'Marr Chase.
Was.
So Ja'Marr Chase, during the summer that he came out as a rookie.
Yeah.
Yes. But in the season in which he came out, in the rookie draft, so during that summer, so summer of 2021,
mm-hmm.
he started at right around wide receiver 9. So Marvin, right now...
That's what I'm saying! Like,
step on him.
And here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. Cheap Trick cut his crowdsource. So it's not like... It's not like there's like, God, what am I trying to say? Like experts talking about this. These are just regular fucking people. Regular fucking people voted for this motherfucker to be a top 5 wide receiver in Dynasty. Scares me. That fucking scares me, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it is true, but I'm just going to try and compare this. Because when he came out, he was right around wide receiver 10, wide receiver 9. Then he had a rise here right around wide receiver 6 during the month of June, for example. Then before the season started, he took that dip because of the he can't catch things that were coming out. If you remember that from training camp, like early September. Yeah. He went down to wide receiver 13. But then... And this is why I want to talk about a bit about Marvin Harrison Jr. and his value. When the season started, on October 18th, for example, he was wide receiver 1 overall. So, I mean, it can happen. And it wasn't because of injury. Jefferson wasn't hurt back then. And then he was always around wide receiver 1 or wide receiver 2, wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2.
But that's what I'm saying. All Marvin Harrison Jr. has to, granted, I'm saying like this, but all Marvin Harrison Jr. has to do is have a 1,000-yard season, and he's going to be the wide receiver 1.
Yeah. I think it's fairly easy assessment to have. I actually, in the Discord server of our good friend of the show, iForensic, we were talking about the mock dynasty. That's it. A dynasty startup draft that one of the members was having. And I was having a discussion about someone that wanted them to pick DJ Moore when Marvin Harrison Jr. was available, which I thought was absolutely just the craziest thing ever. And I actually ended up having a bet that I think Marvin Harrison Jr. will outscore DJ Moore in year 1. So I win 20 bucks if that happens. It is, but it's like, on one end, Marvinez could have all of the targets that are now available, which is over 200 targets. I mean, he doesn't need to get all of them, but he's going to get a good chunk of it. I think it's a fair assessment. And DJ Moore, I mean, he now has some competition. I mean, he has Keenan Allen, he has Romo Dunze, and it's a rookie QB at the helm. So just banking on that. But all of that to say that I think right now it's still CeeDee ahead of Marvin. By mid-season, I wouldn't be shocked if it were, if it looked like complete idiocracy to have Marvin Harrison Jr. ever below CeeDee Lamb.
Can I just say, like, I'm not okay with how quick we are to fucking anoint this guy. Like, I'm not saying he can't be the best wide receiver in the league.
Yes.
I'm saying, should we wait, like, at least a season or two before we start saying it?
The thing is, if you're not ahead of the curve, though, you're not getting him.
Yeah, no, 100%.
So I think it's pretty like, if you want Marvin, it's the time is now. Because if he does pop up, then he's about to go off. If he doesn't pop off, I still think he has the hype to stay just inside of the top 10 of wide receivers. If he has like sub 1,000 yards.
Are you fucking serious?
I think so. I mean, I think it's so someone... Okay,
you're telling me this motherfucker comes out here. He does like, let's not give him a great season, but let's not give him a bad season. Let's say it's 750 yards. Yeah, 750 okay. yards receiving. That's definitely yes. within the range of it. You're telling me this motherfucker is still a top 10 wide receiver?
I think based on the hype, yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't think there's a That's way crazy, that this dude. Guy's value drops like that, honestly. But okay, we're both in agreement that it's CeeDee Lamb. Now I'm going to give you a tougher one. Marvin Harrison Jr. or Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Okay. This is where I start to turn a bit. This is right around the range in which I would ponder this trade. I think Marvin has more upside than Amon-Ra right now. Sure, he is for sure not a guaranteed thing, but I don't think you'll ever see Amon-Ra in the wide receiver one discussion in Dynasty, and I think you can see Marvin Harrison Jr. in that discussion. Fairly easy, as we discussed. So I would rather have Marvin Harrison Jr. Keep Trade Cut still has him ahead of Marvin. So Amon-Ra is wide receiver 4. Marvin is wide receiver 5. The difference in value is like 30 points. But I would rather have Marvin. And it can bite me in the ass, sure. But I'm down. Let it bite me.
Alex?
Yes.
Amon-Ra St. Brown was the wide receiver 3 last year.
Yes. And that's probably the best that he will ever get.
Oh my god, dude. Okay.
I mean, and I think Marvin can be wide receiver 1. Any given season. Okay.
You're just calling this motherfucker Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase before he's even taking a snap.
Yes, because we call those guys before they even, not Justin, right. but we call Ja'Marr Chase just that before right. he even took a snap.
I get that, but you said it yourself. He was the wide receiver 9 coming in.
Yes, the wide and then receiver people 9, immediately, Alex. Yeah, and then he played like 5 games and people immediately put him at, I don't know, a top 1 wide receiver. So it's like, it's just about getting ahead of the curve. Like, if he starts off hot like Ja'Marr did, you can never trade Amon-Ra for him. You probably can't even trade CeeDee Lamb for him. So then you're stuck with Jefferson or Chase. And newsflash, I'm fairly certain that if, and this is probably my hot take, let's put it this way. If Marvin Harrison Jr. starts off hot like Ja'Marr Chase did, and Justin Jefferson doesn't start super hot because of JJ McCarthy, and JJ McCarthy doesn't look great, you will have a tough time trading Justin Jefferson for Marvin Harrison Jr. straight up.
You're just insane.
I'm telling you as it is. And when we're here in this podcast on a random Wednesday in October, we will talk about this.
You're just insane, dude.
Okay. I have two or three more wide receivers for you.
Okay.
Marvin Harrison Jr. or Garrett Wilson.
Okay. I'm starting to at least debate this now.
Okay.
These are the same player. Do you know why they're the same player?
Why?
Because Garrett Wilson gets over fucking hyped for the production that he's actually put out there.
I mean,
in Marvin Harrison's case, he hasn't like put production out there to judge, but no, like Garrett Wilson also has no right to be where Garrett Wilson is. I'm sorry to the Garrett Wilson stands, but he just doesn't. So you know what? Marvin Harrison Jr. in that case.
Okay, I agree. I think he's tied to a better quarterback, younger. So, I think it makes sense. Marvin Harrison Jr. or our favorite wide receiver from last year's draft, Puka Nacua.
Wow.
Oh, you're actually pondering it. Okay.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
I don't know how it took so long for you to say that. Okay.
So, you know what?
Final wide receiver.
Okay. Here's something I want to change this up real quick on you. Marvin Harrison Jr. or DeVonta Smith?
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure. All right, go on.
No, it's I mean, I'm gonna do his teammate now, Marvin Harrison Jr. or AJ Brown.
AJ Brown, what are we?
What?
What do you mean? What? What are you smoking,
dude?
What are you smoking?
I'm smoking that one of them is 5 years younger than the other. Doesn't have double knee surgery to both knees, double knee surgery. I don't know. It's probably tied to a better. No, I'm not.
Stop.
Gonna say
don't
that.
You don't it's you fucking go
no,
there.
No,
don't you fucking
no.
Say it. Don't you say
it's
it.
Tied to a similar QB.
Oh,
that is probably. No, he's not younger, but he's around the same age. And the lack of competition for targets is probably a plus as well. Plus, again, if he starts off odd, like, I don't know, if he has like 200 yard games in the first, I don't know, four or five games, you can never, and I mean never, trade AJ Brown for him straight up.
Alex?
Even now you can trade AJ Brown for him straight up. Do you think Austin would trade 101 for AJ Brown straight up?
Alex?
He wouldn't.
Alex, AJ
yes.
Brown was like the wide receiver one at one point during last season.
Oh, great. Sure, I'm going to be so happy with last year's points. That's what's really going to do well for
this
my team
guy.
In 3 years. That's just amazing, dude. I'm so happy that I got... that I didn't even get, but I'm so happy that a guy that I traded. One of the most coveted players in the whole Dynasty universe got, like, was at some point a top one wide receiver last year when I didn't have him. Just so grateful for that, really.
So you're telling me...
Yes.
Old man, 26-year-old AJ Brown.
Yes. 27. He's 26 and, like, a lot of changes.
26 and a lot of changes. I'm just saying, man. Like... AJ Brown has been, since he's been in Philly, AJ Brown has been one of the top like five fantasy point wide receivers every year, dude. Like, he's 26. What are we doing here?
And a lot of changes.
What are we doing here?
We are getting ahead of the curve, and we're trading
an
older wide receiver who is a declining asset. If you look at his arrow on Keep Trade Cut, it's not going up, buddy. So you're trading a older player who is going to start being a declining asset. By the time that he's 28, it's going to be harder to trade him for anything meaningful. We've seen this before. I mean, Stephon Diggs, Devontae Adams, all of those. We've seen it before. Sure, it's good for your team. It gives you the production, but it becomes harder and harder to trade it because no one will give you the value that you want for him. So he's just going to rot on your team instead of having one of the premier assets in Dynasty.
It's so you're like also going to be in Austin's DM whenever he sends out the message that he's willing to trade Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yes. If I had Justin Jefferson, that's what I would offer. After it starts rough for J.J. McCarthy.
Bro, you really have... Your J.J. McCarthy hate is like on point right now, dude.
Just think that the transition won't be great. Okay, so last couple for Marvin Harrison Jr. since you are a running back lover. Marvin Harrison Jr. or Bijan Robinson?
Bijan.
Nope. Marvin Harrison Jr. or Breece Hall?
Breece.
Nope. Marvin Harrison Jr. or Jahmyr Gibbs?
Jahmyr Gibbs?
Nope. Come on, Angelo. You flunked the test. It was so easy. It was a layup. Come on now. Come on. You never take... I mean, hasn't history taught you anything? Like, you went with Travis Etienne over Jamar Chase.
I did.
Can't you make the good call here and go with the wide receiver? Who, I mean, we've seen this time and time and time again. I mean, Justin Jefferson missed half a season, and he's wide receiver. He's not just wide receiver one. He is the number one player in Keep Trade Cut. He missed half a season. Just take the wide receiver whose value is going to be like foolproof almost versus a running back that if he misses a season, that's like one fourth of his prime completely out of the window. But Keep Trade Cut also has Marvin ahead of all of those. So the top five players in Keep Trade Cut right now are wide receivers in non-superflex.
Here's, you know what, I'm gonna do some of these now. You know what? Fuck you, Alex. I'm taking over.
Okay.
Taking over. I'm gonna also go to a player. There we go. There he is. Ladd McConkey.
Oh, my lad from Georgia. He is the lad from Georgia.
Ladd or Debo Samuel?
Ladd or Debo? Ladd.
Ladd or Tank Dell?
I'm gonna say Ladd.
You know, let's get some of these older players in here. Ladd or Mike Evans?
Ladd.
Cooper Kupp?
Ladd. So I get younger Cooper Kupp. Great.
This guy. Ladd or T. Higgins?
That's it. That depends on where T goes next season. I'm gonna take T.
Ladd or Nico Collins?
Ladd. I'm still not on the Nico Collins train.
The Nico Collins train is apparently very large because he is ahead of a lot of guys.
I mean, yeah. He had a solid, very good season.
He did.
But still, I cannot get on that board. I cannot. I just...
Ladd or Jackson Smith and Jigba?
That's an interesting one.
I know it is.
He had a lot of hype. Remember when people thought that he was the best wide receiver out of OSU? He is the rare case of the wide receiver that lost value and didn't just pull a Quentin Johnston.
No, I would. I'm actually more than, if I don't have enough Jackson Smith and Jigma stock, I'm more than happy to acquire more. Honestly, like looking back on that trade I did, I actually traded Jackson Smith and Jigma for like a bunch of first. So, in hindsight, yes. At least a year later, that trade definitely looks a lot better for me than it looks right now. But anyway, go on, sorry.
I'll take Jackson still.
Jackson. They're really close, but Jackson is higher. Ladd or George Pickens?
Ladd.
Okay, let's get some of these running backs in here. Let's see who you...
Oh, them running backs.
Ladd or James Cook?
Fun fact, I almost traded James Cook for that pick. And I was being greedy for not just doing the pick straight up. So, lads. No. James Cook. I didn't trade him for a reason.
Okay. Ladd or Kieran Williams?
Ladd. Easy, Ladd. Just like, oh my god, so easy. Ladd. I mean, they drafted a carbon copy of Kieran Williams, except this one can block. So, fair enough, I guess.
Ladd or Isaiah Pacheco?
Ladd.
Ladd or Devon Achane?
Ladd. So they drafted basically a better Devon Achane in the fourth round. So yeah, Ladd.
That's a spicy one. So you really
don't shoot the messenger.
You really think Jalen Wright is going to be all that? Like he's going to usurp Achane?
I think they will start by Mostert getting hurt. Achane will probably miss a couple of games.
Is Mostert still on the team?
Yeah, he got an extension as well.
Oh wow! I thought
2 year extension. Yeah, I think Mostert gets hurt first. Then Wright gets to play some snaps because I think he is the heir apparent of Raheem Mostert. Then Achane is probably going to miss a couple of games. Wright will come in, will just absolutely go bananas. He will usurp Achane this way. And yeah, by this time next year, you're probably talking about Jalen Wright as a top, I don't know, 12 running back in Dynasty.
I think that's a little bit crazy. That's a little bit. That I like
that's
that.
Crazier that's than Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yes.
Okay. Book it then. I'll put it on the tweet so we know where it is.
Okay. Jalen Wright is going to be a running back one this time next year.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Yes.
Okay, let's go to my favorite player of all time. Holy shit, I have to go pretty far.
Your favorite player is like dead.
Isaac Grundo.
Oh my god.
Grundo or Zeke?
That's the range that he's on right now.
Yeah, that is.
Oh my god.
My boy's underrated.
Your boy is like, Jesus Christ. He's worse than a guy that it should have been retired. I don't know. Grando, I guess, is a bit younger. Who else do you have for me?
You can go. I'm depressed now.
You just won at Garindo.
Yep.
Okay. Let's look at other rookie wide receivers being taken early. Then we'll look at your favorite position in the whole world. Okay, so we will look now at Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers or Chris Olave?
Chris Olave.
If you say so.
This guy.
Listen, I don't think I would have taken Chris Olave straight up for 102.
This guy.
And keep trade cut agrees with me. Oh, I know. Malik Nabers or Sam Laporta?
Oh, Malik Nabers.
Sam Laporta is like 4 spots ahead.
Sam
Laporta is higher than AJ Brown.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, Malik Nabers or Drake London?
Malik Nabers, say that again. Sorry, you kind of broke.
Malik Nabers or Drake London?
Okay. Okay. You're going to hate me for this. Until I see it on the field, I think Drake London's stock is and Garrett Wilson's is basically the same. Give me Malik Nabers.
Okay. I agree. I do think Drake London is going to be a guy that is right up there as a top 6-7 wide receiver. I think he's going to flip with Garrett Wilson by this time next year.
Yeah, like when you said Drake London for Justin Jefferson, I dropped to the floor. I'm not going to lie.
I was kidding, to be honest. But I wouldn't undo the trade that we did for London.
I wouldn't either, yeah. Actually.
It seems like both of us are pretty happy with the sides that we had on each trade that we made. Okay, final one. Malik Nabers or Tyreek Hill?
Ooh. Give me Malik Nabers simply because Tyreek is about... Actually, no, he already did. He already passed 30.
Okay. I agree with that one as well. So, yeah, I think Nabers is probably well-placed here. I think he's ahead of all of the guys that we talked about. So, I think although you can argue that some names should be ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr., I didn't, but you did. I don't really think there's anyone that you need to massively disagree with in the ones that are behind Nabers here.
Here's the interesting part about Nabers to me is, like, so we've kind of just anointed Marvin Harrison Jr. Like he's just the next top wide receiver. You just think you're waiting for him to produce numbers for it to become official. Yes. With Malik Nabers, there is this kind of like feeling that he has to earn it because he actually has a semi-realistic range for a rookie. Number 16.
But he is wide receiver 9, so he is right where Ja'Marr Chase was.
Yes.
In this time in 2021.
So there's a lot of inherent risk with Nabers specifically. Being on the Giants roster with Daniel Jones throwing him the ball, like the Giants that just fired literally everyone but the head coach and the offensive coordinator. So if they lay an egg, then A, that's going to waste Nabber's rookie seasons, and B, that's going to basically can that entire staff.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of risk there, buddy. But there's also a lot of upside. I don't think, and I know I've said a lot, like, Nabber's is faster, Nabber's is the better athlete. We don't, like, kind of give that credit to him, in a way. We're just, like, I don't think there's enough discussion in the general, like, dynasty fear. I think it's kind of just like, oh, yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr. is head and shoulders above. Next. And that's kind of how we, like, approach it. I don't think we actually have, like, discussed, well, not us, we obviously have, but I don't think the community as a whole has discussed, like, Nabber's insane upside that he has for what, and the risk is kind of baked into his price right now, because, like, you have to give up Justin Jefferson to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, if he busts, there's no going back from that.
No, at least I think you definitely have to give one of the top three, at least.
Yeah, at least with Nabber's, like, if you have a few tiers, actually, below that, you could probably add a sweetener and get Nabber's. And yes, you also run the risk that he busts, especially on that volatile Giants team that's just waiting for a bad season to be disintegrated. But at the same time, like, do you really think Malik Nabber's ceiling isn't also similar to Marvin Harrison Jr.'s?
I mean, I definitely think so. Heck, I gotta say, I think his ceiling might even be a bit higher than a Marvin Harrison Jr.
So, I mean, so then what's... So, I guess my next question is then, what's the case against him? Like, why would you
it's
not
acquire... It's the inherited risk.
Yeah.
Because although some of the risk is priced then, I don't think it's nearly enough to the risk that he might have. When you take into the consideration going to New York, the whole mess that is there at the QB situation, the reports from prior to the draft that he might have some off-the-field concerns, I think there's a bit of risk there. That it would almost justify a trade for, like, a Chris Olave. But then you think about the upside that he has and how explosive he is with the ball in his hands, and that he is younger than even a Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, he's a year younger. He is right around the same age as Ja'Marr Chase was when he came out. And you take all of that into consideration, and then it's like...
Here's the thing, like...
I think he is... Like, if I'm looking at the players above him, like, would I trade Puka for him? I would, probably. Would I trade Garrett Wilson for him? I would, probably. Would I trade A.J. Brown for him? I would as well. So then it's like we're talking about a 3-spot difference from where at least I would have him. So there's some bit of value here, but I do think he has a whole lot more risk than Marvin Harrison Jr., and that's why you see the big difference.
That's fair. I guess we're just really on the camp. The Nabber's camp. Give me all that upside, baby. Give me all that upside.
Well, maybe you can get it from me in a couple of years if I get tired of him.
If you get
okay. Now we have one guy that I think is massively overrated right now in terms of where he is versus the older wide receivers, the non-rookie wide receivers. So Rome Odunze.
Mm-hmm. I honestly have no idea how to evaluate Odunze.
Go ahead, sir.
I think I'd still kind of go Odunze.
Okay, so
I guess it just depends on the situation you're in. Like, here's the thing. Like, if you have Tyreek Hill right now, and you're competing, you're not moving Tyreek Hill for Roma dudes. Like,
I would, but general consensus tells you not to, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I always like to keep the legs fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he is Tyreek Hill. A is one spot ahead of Rome here. They are like back to back. The difference is like 4 points, whatever. Romo Odunze or Brandon Ayuk?
Brandon Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk, I agree. And Brandon Ayuk is quite a bit below Romo Odunze. He's like three spots below Rome. The difference is right around 100 points, a bit behind. But I think Brandon can really pop off this year as well.
I think your take that, like, when we did the mock, that you said that the Romo Odunze pick is the pick I would trade down or trade out or get a player for. I think that was spot on because, like, he's the consensus number three wide receiver, but he also feels like a trap.
He does. At least it's hard to call him a trap because I think he can be a very good player. I just think going to take a while. And I don't necessarily think people understanding.
People aren't that patient in Dynasty.
Yeah, they are. I mean, you see it by Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
I'm about to say, you probably can wait a year and you could probably get him for a nice little wide receiver three or wide receiver four in Dynasty.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's like, I know that he's not going to play the same position as Jackson. Jackson played the flex role when we're in two wide receiver sets. Jackson Smith and Jigba wasn't out there. Rome. But the thing is, will Rome be there? Because it's like, if you want to give your rookie QB the best chance to succeed, isn't Keenan like a guy that you can play outside as well? I mean, he played that role with the Chargers. He played outside. He played inside. So it's like, are you going to be taking out Keenan Allen for a rookie when you're in two wide receiver sets? That could be a good bunch of your formation since you're still probably going to be a team that likes to run heavy. So you're out there with, I don't know, two tight ends probably, if we know anything about the offensive coordinator that was with the Seahawks last season. He ran a bunch of two tight end sets, two running back sets. So you're probably going to see a whole lot of two wide receiver sets just so you can have those many running backs, tight ends on the field. And it's just hard for me to justify putting a rookie up there instead of a guy like Keenan Allen. I think you will see a whole lot of the same situation as Jaxon Smith-Njigba last season. A guy that when he's on the field, he produces well, but he's just going to be behind two guys that are going to produce fairly well. And it's a rookie QB. How much do you expect the third guy in the rotation to get in terms of targets, in terms of production? Sure, maybe it changes. Maybe Keenan Allen really is old. I didn't see that last season. People are saying that he now lost a step. I think that might be wishful thinking more than anything. So, I don't know. Again, as you said, as I said in the last year and last episode, it's definitely a guy that you can trade out of the pick, then trade for if you really like him, next season at a discount. I think it's...
Yeah.
I just don't see a way that unless an injury happens or one of the guys really drops off, or Caleb is, I don't know, Caleb maybe can be a CJ Stroud type of talent. Here's off the bat, thing,
though, like let's say you invested a top, like you would have had to invest a top 5-6 pick if you are in one quarterback league. If you're that guy, like, do you want to trade Romo Odunze next year at discount? Because let me ask you this. I'm going to use the league as an example. If you went to Luke right now and asked him for Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you think you could really get him?
I think so. Depends on what I offer. Sure, I mean, last season he wasn't totally against trading him for DK Metcalf at the midway point of the season. So, I don't know. I don't think anything really changed massively to the point in which...
DK's like multiple tiers ahead of Jackson right now, dude.
Yeah. So, is he like multiple tiers? So, yes! let me check.
Yes, dude!
He's on tier five. DK Metcalf. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is in tier 6. Tier point difference is 200 points, roughly.
Well, I guess not.
So it's like, even with all of that, and now I think you can maybe get a bit more alongside Jaxon Smith-Njigba. for DK Metcalf. So I think Rome just going to be that guy that drops a bit in value, and although he might look good on the field, just want to have the production to back it up. So I would rather have Brandon Ayuk than him.
Okay.
And Romo Odunze or Jalen Waddle?
Oh, I want Waddle all day.
Yeah, same like here as well.
So here's kind of the thing. So a lot of the players in the, and this is like a no dumbo. This is 100% no dumbo. A lot of the players at the top of their rankings at wide receiver are in really good offenses, and they have been in really good offenses for a while now. They've been, the Dolphins have, in the last two seasons, have been a top five offense. The Bengals, when Joe Burrow is healthy, have been a top five offense. The Cowboys have been a top five. Like, and I get that we kind of just assume the Bears are going to take that next step. But you don't actually know until it happens. That's kind of the thing. And I feel like a lot of the Bears, maybe not the older wide receivers, but even DJ Moore in a way, the Bears value the player, their players are valued like they're already at a top five offense. And that kind of concerns me.
Because they're not going to be a top five offense this season.
But they're valued like they are.
Yeah, and it's kind of like you're really projecting a lot. And I've been seeing a lot of like hype takes about the Bears and Caleb in general. Like, I like Caleb. I like the Bears. I like what they've built around Caleb right now. I think Caleb is much better with the QB than Justin Fields was at this stage, or even as a rookie. But it's like, it's a bit of a stretch to go from where they were to a top five offense, like right off the get go. Like, maybe you hit on a CJ Stride. Maybe don't.
Here's the thing. Even if they are, I know you talked about like getting ahead with Marvin Harrison Jr. a lot, but here's the thing. If everyone's projecting them to be a top five offense, I don't want it. I don't want to pay for something they haven't accomplished yet. I would rather like I think you were smart to invest in Detroit. If you invested in Cincinnati post Joe Burrow, because Cincinnati's offense was never a top five offense. If you invested in Cincinnati before, like just after Joe Burrow got drafted, if you invested in Bills players after the Stephon Diggs trade, because Josh Allen wasn't Josh Allen back then. Like, I think, or Miami's offense is another good example. How low that first year with Mike McDaniels were those Miami players valued? That's the thing. Like, I would rather find the top five offense that, like, people are weary about than pay for the top five offense everyone's calling, even if they're right. Because that's how you get value, and that's how you make good teams.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think we are crowning them, like, as a top, heck, even as a top 10 offense, way too soon. Like, this is still a rookie QB. As we know, rookie QB sometimes take a bit. You're likely not getting a CJ Stroud situation right off the get-go. Those happen from time to time, but most of the time you get a lukewarm rookie season. I don't know, like a Baker Mayfield type of season. That's high end, and it wasn't like amazing or anything. You still tied the record for touchdown thrones, but then it's like a lot of turnovers as well.
To that point, Baker had the best rookie quarterback season.
Like, yeah, but when you look at the offense around them.
Yeah.
When you look at the offense around them, how many yards did they have? I think it was like 3,000 and change. So with 3,000 yards and change, how many fantasy relevance options can you keep? Because it's not just like, yeah, yeah, 3,000 yards, like each wide receiver got 1,000, that's it. No, I mean, running back will always get 300, 400. Another running back might get 200. Then you're looking at a tight end three who gets 200, 300 yards. The top tight end gets, I don't know, 500, 600 yards. Those are so, like, evenly split that even, like, okay, yeah, he had a solid rookie season, but a solid rookie season won't sustain, I don't know, three fantasy relevant wide receivers, one or two fantasy relevant running backs, one fantasy relevant tight end. I mean, that's just way too many mouths to feed. Even if you had a pretty solid QB rookie season, unless you have a CJ Stroud level of rookie season, it's just like it's very hard to achieve that and to make the pieces around you relevant for fantasy. So I don't know. I think he is going to have a solid rookie season. I just don't think that translates enough to fantasy to the point in which all of the fantasy options in Chicago are, like, I don't know, super relevant, and we call it that a top 10 offense. For fantasy, that is.
Yeah. So, here's a question.
Yes.
So, who is your team under the radar? Like, everyone's calling Caleb and the Bears. Is it because you're a Drake May stan? Like, maybe not right now. Like, but would you invest in the New England offense if Drake May had, like, a decent rookie season and they drafted a wide receiver next year? Would you look into that?
I honestly think it might be even time to look at that, because I didn't expect this blowback. Yeah, why not? I mean, you're looking at a guy.
You're right. Why not? Go on, sorry.
It's like, I didn't expect the blowback on Drake May to be as high as it was. Maybe that's just me, but I expected them to take a thumb down. But, like, to the levels that he's falling right now, where people are, I don't know, they're taking random guys at skill positions ahead of them, kind of tough. I don't know. Like, if you get someone that you can buy right now, I mean, would you rather have Drake May in Superflex or Brandon Ayuk?
Say that again, sorry. Would I rather have Drake May of who?
Drake May and Superflex or Brandon Ayuk?
Ooh. See, I don't think Brandon Ayuk's... I guess Drake May at Superflex. You have to have two quarterbacks, I guess, at that point.
Yeah. And it's like, it's a guy who was a top three draft pick in the NFL draft.
Yep.
I don't know, like, Drake May or Devonta Smith?
You got me in my feels. I think I'm going to go to Devonta Smith there.
I would still trick Drake May, because all of the ceiling of these guys seem fairly limited right now versus what you can get if Drake May pans out. So I think it's just like taking a risk that it works out. Drake May or Jalen Waddle, for example, he fits the bill.
What? I mean, that's an interesting discussion to think about. Like, do you think the Patriots offense have, like, top 10 or top 5 potential offense in the future? That's... And here's the thing. The Patriots offense is kind of in a weird spot, too. Because I think Stevenson could be a very good... Ramondre Stevenson could be a very good value this year. Because if I'm not mistaken, his stock has, like, fallen. Where is he in these rankings? Hold on.
Let me check. Non-Superflex, yeah. I mean, he's behind Kyren, so that's an immediate mistake. He's behind Rashad White, so that's definitely a mistake. He's behind Keon Coleman, so that's an even bigger mistake, buddy.
He's behind Zamir White.
No, we must have missed him. He can't be behind Derrick Henry. Like, Derrick Henry is 50. Oh my god, he's behind Derrick Henry. He's behind
and
Joe Mixon, dude.
He's behind Joe Mixon! He's just ahead! Bro, I'm not going to lie. I might offer up Tyree Spears for Mondé and just see where it's. Like, what?
Of course you offer. You offer a backup running back for Ramondre Stevenson. What are we doing here, buddy?
What the fuck? But that's the kind of shit I'm talking about. Like.
But again, you won't probably get him because he is on a contender team in our league.
Oh, yeah. But regardless. But that's the kind of value I'm talking about, though. Because. And look at where Swift is. Swift has been on three different teams right now.
Swift is likely the most overrated journeyman ever. Like,
had a reminder of Stevenson.
He spent 4 years in Detroit. We went from heck. I loved him as a prospect coming out. He spent 4 years in Detroit. His vision was, I don't know, it seemed like he needed some big-ass glasses to see holes in the offensive line. He really struggled in that department with the vision. He goes on a one-year, I don't know, they borrowed DeAndre Swift for a year, traded him during the draft. He goes to a team that, I mean, just fits him like a glove because the holes that the Eagles opened in that offensive line for the run were just, even DeAndre Swift couldn't miss those, right? So he has a pretty solid season, still banged up a bit, misses a few games, if I'm not mistaken, with the Eagles. Then gets a pretty solid deal for the Bears right now. And people are like, yeah, this guy is a running back, a top 17 running back. That's just, I don't know, man. Sometimes the valuations are just nuts. Yeah, I definitely would rather have DeAndre Swift over.
Sometimes you just got to make assessments like, oh, sorry, go on, sorry.
No, I definitely would rather have, like, I don't know, DeAndre Swift over a guy like, heck, Marquise Brown. Like, I think they both have right around the same shelf life, and I think Marquise Brown has five times the upside that DeAndre Swift has. So, and they are quite a bit apart in keep trade cut, with Swift being higher. That is.
That's crazy.
I know. I feel like there are, again, this show is all about what you can do during the draft. Between like the value of your pick on the clock, what type of assets you can probably get for that pick. And don't forget, like, the players that we're saying here, sure, some of them might be hyped a bit by the community, but when the pick is on the clock and you have the chance of picking Roma Dunze, I'm fairly certain you can get more than Brandon Ayuk, for example, or Jaden Waddle, although they are fairly close in keep trade cut. When the pick is on the clock, and someone is eager to getting that type of guy, you can probably get, I don't know, Brandon Ayuk and a second round pick if the guy's really feeling the rookie fever. Like, those type of deals happen, like, all the time. So it's just about exploring what you can do in your league, take advantage of the people that are really hyping up the rookies. And yeah. I think that's what we're doing here. And then there's the reverse. There's the vets that are getting a bit more hyped up that you can maybe trade for a rookie pick that can get you a guy that has some sort of upside versus a very, I don't know, when you're looking at a guy like 27, 28 years old that will eventually lose most of his value just because people aren't too happy about getting older players. Maybe it's just time to cash out on those players and get maybe if the perceived value isn't great for, I don't know, DeAndre Swift versus what he can offer to your team. Just think about, I don't know, if the guy gets hurt or if the guy underperforms even to the slightest point, you're talking about a guy who needs to be perfect to keep that sort of value, and that value isn't great to start. why not trade him for someone that can hold a value a bit better? It's just what I think at times. Okay. So there are still a few names that I want to talk about, and we're sort of running out of time. So I'm going to do a fairly quick one here.
You thought this wasn't going to be able to eat enough time.
Yeah, I definitely did. I thought this was going to be a shorter episode if we're just doing that, but apparently we're almost 2 hours in, or no, we're over an hour and change.
I got a question to you, though, seriously, yes. For a second. So, why do you have such the kickback on Isaac Guerrero? Because the dude is the best athlete in the fucking draft, dude. Like,
listen, I don't have an issue with Guerrero or where you picked Guerrero. I was just making fun of the part that you said that he's going to be running back one by November or something, which I think it's impossible. Now, I think he's going to stay on the roster. I think Elijah Mitchell.
This class looks pretty rough, dude. Like,
I mean, it is true, but it's still like, I just have a tough time seeing the touches. But CMC is just a guy that gets banged up at times. Elijah Mitchell is far from the perfect picture of health. So he might get some snaps. Heck, I wouldn't be surprised if he usurps Elijah Mitchell under that chart as well. And I'm totally fine with where you picked Guerrero in our rookie draft. My main issue is that you then picked like the running back five or whatever in a guy that I never heard about instead of Rasheen Ali, which is like nuts to me. There's a guy that can actually get some sort of snaps with Baltimore, and you draft the guy who will probably be serving burgers at an In-N-Out in about, I don't know, 2 months.
He's like, you should have gone Rasheen Ali.
Yeah, you should. But hey, like, Guerrero, I'm okay with Guerrero. I like Guerrero.
I do too. Anyway, go on. Sorry, what were you going to say? Now you can speed up this.
This gave me time to actually look at a few players here that I like. Okay, so Xavier Worthy here.
Yep.
Or Jackson Smith and Jigba. Oh,
bro,
really?
I'm taking JSN, dude.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Probably as well, but that might be the only one of the list that I'm about to tell you. Xavier Worthy, or let's go rookie versus rookie. Xavier Worthy or Brian Thomas Jr.?
Oh, I'm going all in on that fucking upside. Give me Worthy.
Yeah. Worthy. I'm actually, the more that I look into Brian Thomas Jr., the more that I want to run from him like a plague.
Nick Kahn likes him. That's all I need to know. Or Tony Khan likes him. That's all I need to know.
You run from that. Like, whatever Tony Khan likes, you run from that, boy. Okay. Xavier Worthy or George Pickens?
Worthy.
Okay, I agree. Xavier Worthy or my guy, Kenneth Walker?
I think I'm going to go Walker there.
Interesting. I actually might go Worthy, but it's super close.
I think it is, yeah. It's very close.
It's very close.
The thing with Worthy is like, okay, so like you like got some extra money at, you know, the end of your paycheck, and you go and you're like, okay, how can I potentially waste this money but also potentially profit? So you buy a lottery ticket. And granted, I think Worthy has better odds of hitting than you hitting the lottery. But if you hit with Worthy, he's like one of the top wide receivers of this class. But if you don't hit with Worthy, and that's a higher chance than a lot of people want to admit, then you kind of just wasted your top five pick.
Yeah.
And that's the issue I have with, like, like you put me in scenarios where you're like, okay, would you rather have this guy? Would you rather have the like the lottery chance or this guy who's like, eh? Like a lot of times, yeah, I'm gonna take the lottery chance. But like, if you give me a guy who like who produces, who has shown a history of producing, yeah, I'm taking that dude. Like that's kind of where I'm at. Like, if I would rather like potentially burn but potentially like profit, then I'll take it. If I'd rather just stay safe, then I'd do that. Like Devontae Smith or Worthy, I'm taking Devontae Smith every time.
But let's look at it in this way. So let's say you mentioned something like if he hits, he's going to be like super crazy high. If he doesn't hit, then I agree. Like people have been
Sky Moore
this ride.
If he doesn't hit.
Yeah, with Sky Moore, with McCole Hardman, all of that.
Yeah.
They've been through this, and it's like if he doesn't hit straight up, then he's just going to get passed over. So, but let's say he hits, and he hits is, I don't know, he has like 1,000 yards as a rookie with Patrick Mahomes. Like, all the hype is on this dude. So let's say he hits, and let's do it this or that, but he hits. So let's say
this or
he
that,
hits.
But guaranteed hit. Okay.
Guaranteed hit. So he has 1,000 yards as a rookie. He looks amazing. He's the next coming of Tyreek Hill. Xavier Worthy or A.J. Brown?
Do you want me to do this on based on what I do or based on what I think Keep Trade Cut's going to, the community in large is going to do? Because that's two different opinions.
Probably just on this one. But yeah, give me your opinion because I think I know what Keep Trade Cut will do.
Yeah.
I'll say it in the end.
A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown. Even if Xavier Worthy hits and he's like 7 years younger. Okay.
Yep. He's going to be ranked higher. I know he is, but
yeah,
I would still
that's rate. Just yeah. like for sure.
That's a given.
Xavier Worthy or Garrett Wilson?
Xavier Worthy.
Xavier Worthy or Puka Nacua?
Xavier Worthy.
Xavier Worthy or Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Ra.
Xavier Worthy or Breece Hall?
Breece.
But you're looking. Let's keep in mind, so Xavier Worthy has it, so we're now in next year. Next year, it's like Breece Hall is 24, Jameer Gibbs is 23,
Bijan
Robinson
is
23.
That is true.
So you have to look at it
In that case, yes, you're right, it is Worthy.
Okay, over all Gibbs, Bijan, or just Hall? The other ones will be 23.
Gibbs isn't 23, is he? I thought Gibbs was 21.
No, I'm saying next year. Next year, they're going to be 23.
Yeah,
Paul
right.
is going to be 24.
You're right. I guess, yes, in that case, it would be Worthy.
Okay.
Because honestly, we're about to hit the that's crazy to think about already. We're starting to hit the time where, like, it's about time to trade Breece. It's about time to trade Kenneth Walker. It's going to be about time to trade Gibbs and Bijan next year.
That's
crazy.
I hate running backs.
That's fucking crazy to think about, dude.
Hate fucking running backs. It's just you need to be on the edge of your seat at all time because one small little dink and the guy loses 1,000 point in value because God forbid that a guy's played running back when he's 24. Like, guy should be in a retirement home. But we move. Xavier Worthy or a 26-year-old CD Lamb?
I CD.
Okay. So I'll tell you what I think Keep Trade Cut will put him at if he hits and he has a 1,000-yard season.
Just the community at large. Community at large will put at.
Yes. I think he will be wide receiver 4.
Wide receiver 4.
I think it's going to be Chase, Jefferson, Marvin, Xavier Worthy.
Wow.
Yeah. I think he can have an absolutely meteoric rise. But again, if he doesn't start off hot, he's going to drop. Like, he's going to drop behind the George Pickens. He's going to drop behind the James Cook. He's going to drop behind even a Ladd, because Ladd is probably going to get a whole lot of targets to start. So he's going to drop quite a bit. But if he hits, oh boy.
Oh yeah, no. If he hits the there is no like floor to that hype.
So again, he is definitely one of those guys that is like, you have to have almost balls of steel to take him, because the chance that he goes, that this, all of this goes tits up, it's fairly high. But if he doesn't go tits up and it actually goes well, oh boy, you have gold in your hands.
You really do.
Okay, so a few more, because as I said, we're short on time now. Xavier Worthy or Tank Dell.
Like right now?
Yes.
Or if he hits?
Just,
no, are we off
just
if he hits?
Right now, yeah.
I think I would take Tank Dell.
Okay. T. Higgins.
I think I would take T. Higgins.
DJ Moore. 27-year-old DJ Moore.
Xavier Worthy.
Zay Flowers.
Zay.
DK Metcalf.
Ooh.
Hmm.
That's a tough ball, dude. Next year, I think, is the year you need to trade DK. So I think I'm going to take DK for now, but it's not much longer.
Time is running out. Nico Collins.
Worthy.
Justin Herbert in 1 QB.
Herbert.
Joe Burrow in 1 QB.
Burrow.
CJ Stroud in 1 QB.
Stroud.
Okay. How Forgive high me. Do you think Stroud is right now?
QB3.
He is QB3. I think that's absolutely insane, dude.
It is. I know. I can't even tell you who's ahead of him. Mahomes and Allen, probably.
Yeah.
If I had to guess.
It.
Yeah.
And I think he's even higher in Superflex. I believe he's QB2 in Superflex.
QB2. Oh, my God.
So he's.
Oh, God.
I believe he is. I can just click it here. Yeah. No, he's actually QB3, but he is the third overall asset in Superflex. I think that's absolutely asinine. Okay. A few more with Brian Thomas Jr. here. The bum. Brian Thomas Jr. or Led McConkey?
You know, I think I'm going to go Brian Thomas Jr. here.
Wrong. Led McConkey. Brian Thomas Jr., Jonathan Brooks.
Brian Thomas Jr.
Wrong.
Brian
Thomas Jr. or Trey Benson?
Brian Thomas Jr.
Wrong. Okay. I really don't like Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, you don't. He's like, take all the running backs.
It's just like you take every single one of those guys, of those two guys. That's it. Brian Thomas Jr. or Jaden Reed?
Jaden Reed.
Right. Okay, finally, one that I might take Brian Thomas Jr. Brian Thomas Jr. or Deebo Samuel?
I think I'll take Deebo there.
I actually would probably take the upside that it's almost non-existent, but it must be there somewhere.
Brian Thomas Jr. or Quentin Johnston?
Oh my God, dude. The battle of the busts. The battle of the busts. Brian Thomas Jr. It's like, it's the old Family Guy. He can be anything, even a bust in this case. Okay, I think we're Gucci for this one, no? Closing it out on that one is probably fun. All right, then. So, fellas, If you're listening on the Spotify app, on the podcast app, just rate us 5-star, turn on the auto downloads. Just subscribe to us as well. We're going to be more active on Twitter. So just follow that. It's at No Reserves Radio. Fairly simple. You can find out the links for the podcasts there. You can find out, I don't know, every little piece of news. We posted the mock draft in there as well, the picture of the mock draft. So just another piece of thing that you can follow us on. If you're listening on the YouTube, just subscribe, turn on the auto. I'm just going full podcast. Just subscribe, turn on the notifications, leave a like, leave a comment, all of those good things. And as always, guys, talk to you next week.
See you next week, guys. Mm-hmm.